It's a healthy audio treat. Radio MD presents Family Food Kitchen with Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Long dark days can be so hard to endure, and this is why SAD, the seasonal affective disorder, needs attention. Well, Lisa Saukas, a nationally recognized nutritionist, is here with us in our Family Food Kitchen to lighten your day. Lisa, would you please explain what SAD is? Hi. SAD is more prominent than most people realize. Would you explain that for us, please?
Yes. Well, we call it the winter blues, and for many of us, during the cold, long winter months, when you wake up in the morning and it's dark, and you're driving home from work and it's dark, and it seems to be dark all the time, and if you get bad weather on the weekends, we have very limited exposure to direct sunlight, and we're not happy in the wintertime for that reason. So now there are different forms of seasonal affective disorder. For many of us, we may overeat a little bit. We just don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning. But for about 14% of Americans, it's more serious. And for about 6% of Americans, it's actually very serious and a form of depression, clinical depression, that needs to be addressed with medication and therapy.
Well, I'm going to jump in and say I'm here in the Northeast. I live in Florida usually, and I'm already noticing, you know, the darker days, the overcast. Fortunately, there's snow on the ground, so there's brightness. But I remember growing up here and how dark those days were. So does it matter whether it's winter, summer, or whether it's night? What time of year, what time of day? How do we know we have SAD?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing. SAD is related to light and light exposure, but it can happen in the winter, and it does for most cases of SAD, but it can also happen in the summer. And about 1% of us experience SAD in the summer. So again, whenever it is a drastic change from light to dark, or a change in the number of hours of sunlight, that affects our sleep cycle, our circadian rhythm, and that has to do with the hormone melatonin. And when melatonin is either increased or decreased, that in turn affects our serotonin levels. And serotonin is associated with symptoms of depression, mood for sure, sleep patterns, and especially what we eat, what we crave. So a lot of us tend to crave sugary or starchy foods when there's a shift in light. Like even this time of year, I notice a lot of my clients are complaining that they're craving pasta and ice cream and potatoes and potato chips, just the starchy foods that are known to induce serotonin levels in the brain. So you eat these foods, they produce more serotonin, you feel a little bit better, but of course the end result is you've got an extra 10 pounds on your belly at the end of the season. So it's interesting that in the summertime, the few of us who experience SAD in the summer, the symptoms present very differently. So in the summertime, instead of getting depressed, you actually get more anxious and excited, and there's a lack of sleep instead of more sleep. So it's really the exact opposite, which is why we don't normally associate these summer symptoms with seasonal affective disorder. We tend to think of it as winter disease. The key with SAD, though, is that it happens at the same time every year. So if you notice in the winter that around the same time each year you get depressed, and then the symptoms go into complete remission about 3 or 4 months later, and same in the summer, then you should really talk to somebody whether or not you have seasonal affective disorder, especially to a more serious degree.
It sounds like, you know, one way to really know if it's, this is some serious stuff we're talking about, to really know if it's something like a chronic depression versus SAD, the difference there is that it ends. It's temporary. It can be weeks or months, but there is a complete reversal whenever there is a change of season. And am I right on concluding
Correct.
This?
Yeah, okay. That's exactly it. The complete reversal. So it's like one day you're symptomatic, and then the next day you're fine.
Okay. And is this more so in women than men? Is it age? Does age contribute to also if you're more susceptible to suffering from this or not?
Okay, so for age, not necessarily. Some people have SAD symptoms throughout their entire lifetime, and they see that pattern year after year. But because of hormonal changes, we tend to see more SAD symptoms in women over 40. Now, the interesting thing between men and women is that although women definitely complain about more symptoms like overeating and sleep disturbances, when men experience serious SAD, it's often linked to clinical depression and especially bipolar. And with men, SAD symptoms need to be taken quite seriously because they tend to lead to something more serious. Again, like I said, if you're male experiencing these seasonal changes in your mood, then it's a good idea to speak to your doctor and get a referral to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist to explore it further.
You know, that's so interesting. Yeah. But I want to get back to your food because I think mm-hmm. that when we're feeling a little bit negative about whatever, whether it's SAD or not, we do go to those foods that are going to temporarily lighten our thought processes, or we think it does. And then you added those 10 pounds, and I'm sure so many can relate to that. And then you're depressed because
you're depressed.
Eating those, your clothes are getting tighter. It's like, oh, darn, now what I do, but I still want some more chips. And it's a vicious cycle, as you said. So what are the foods we should be gravitating to that will help lift our moods but won't add a ton of, a lot of extra pounds? Are there any?
Yes. Okay. Well, there are some key nutrients. Now, when you think about sunlight, you think about vitamin D. So it would make sense that vitamin D has an impact on seasonal affective disorder. And there is evidence, of course, that vitamin D is linked to depression, but we don't have any concrete evidence that supplementing with vitamin D or eating foods that are rich in it can make a significant difference. Nonetheless, there is a relationship there. So we know that vitamin D does so many other things and plays a role in disease, preventing cancer, osteoporosis, heart disease, autoimmune disease, and so much more. So especially in the winter months or in the dark months, if you aren't getting direct exposure to sunlight, take at least 1,000 international units of vitamin D every day and get tested. Get your vitamin D levels tested by your doctor to find out if you are deficient, and then you can base your supplementation dose on the results. Now, foods that have vitamin D in them, fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, tuna, fish liver oils. Remember cod liver oil?
I do. I can still taste it. Mm-hmm.
Yum, yum. It's fantastic to take in the wintertime. So, especially in colder climates, we usually recommend taking cod liver oil in the winter and then just an omega-3 fish oil in the sunny months. Mainly for the vitamin D, and egg yolks are a pretty good source too. Now, speaking of fish, another really important one that's just being explored now is omega-3. And research indicates that omega-3 can improve symptoms of all types of depression, whether it's mild or serious, and it's critical for a healthy central nervous system. So again, fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, anchovies on your pizza, a can of sardines, those are going to give you the most omega-3. And then, of course, there's supplements. And if you're buying omega-3 supplements, buy supplements with DHA in them. They come in DHA or EPA form. And DHA is the form that's more important for your brain and associated with mood. And then, of course, you get some omega-3 in flax oil, nuts and seeds, nut butters, and some other foods. But fish oil, krill oil, the microalgae, which is a vegan version, those are really important to supplement if you've got seasonal affective disorder. So we've also got probiotics. And now I haven't seen any research yet on probiotics and SAD, but recent research over the last couple of years especially has found that 90% of the serotonin in the body is actually in the gut. We've always called serotonin a brain chemical or a neurotransmitter, but it's actually in the intestine rather than in the brain. So it makes sense, again, that promoting healthy microbiota in the intestine would contribute to healthy levels of serotonin. So we're actually calling...
That is so interesting, Lisa. And I'm, I'm so sorry to cut you. We're at the very end, so I want to tell everybody where to find so much more about you and all this awesome information, and that is at nuvitality.com. In the meantime, everyone, eat well and stay well.